Well, this first slide is not about the lesson. I've just been seeing this picture circulate out there on Facebook. A number of people have posted this picture on Facebook. It's just a good reminder for us this morning and the sacrifice of our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine, not knowing whether or not, you know, this week they're going to be invaded by enemy forces or not. And so as they're willing to be out in the snow, in the cold, and pray for themselves and their nation and their church, surely it'd be a good thing for us to remember them in prayer today and this week as well. So just a reminder there. We've been working on worshiping our way out of, specifically in the last few lessons on worshiping our way out of, worshiping our way out of rotten speech as believers. The reason we use that word rotten speech specifically, I didn't make that up. It comes from a Bible term from Ephesians 4:29, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Let no unwholesome word," a good translation for that is, "let no rotten word proceed from your mouth," none, no rotten word, "but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." We unpack that verse. I'm not going to take the time to do that, but the reason that it can be true of us as born-again believers that we don't have to allow any rotten words to proceed out of our mouth, but only edifying words, is because of the large, big picture in Scripture of regeneration. Whereas before, we were those who were dead to God, separated from God in our trespasses and sins, made alive in Christ, saved by God's grace, made new creatures in Christ with new hearts and a new mouth. So when Paul was saying to the Ephesian believers, "Let no corrupt language proceed out of your mouth," he was saying to them, he'd already said to them, "Don't walk anymore like the Gentiles." And now he's going on saying, "Don't even talk anymore like the Gentiles talk." We have the indwelling Holy Spirit living in us. We are those now who have been made, we've always been worshipers, but now we are worshiping the one and true God, living for God's glory and His pleasure through that process of progressive sanctification. And so every area, every aspect of our lives, including our speech and our words, are being progressively transformed, as our confession says. Less and less given over to sin and evil, more and more transformed and made Christ-like. We also have been reminded that our Lord reminds us that what comes out of our mouth is not just simply that comes out of our mouth, but it's out of the abundance of our heart that our mouth speaks, which means we can always work our way back from what we say to the motives, the desires, the idols of our heart. And I said a couple of weeks ago then, when we were talking about all these kind of things, I said 2 or 3 weeks ago that I wanted to do a lesson on gossip. Somebody had made some comment. We were making comments, and someone made some comment. I said, "Yeah, I think I want to do a lesson on that." We're going to begin to break into that today. Now, here's a picture, or an illustration, by the famous illustrator Norman Rockwell. Norman Rockwell experienced this thing. In fact, if you Rockwell would sometimes paint himself into his illustrations, which he did in this one. If you look down at the bottom corner, the bottom corner, where the man with the hat is pointing to the woman in the bottom corner that's got her hand like this on her mouth, that's Rockwell painting himself into this picture. If you look, that same woman is in the top left corner, because she's the one who started the gossip about Rockwell. He actually experienced this, where someone started a rumor about him, a malicious rumor, and it went around his friends and family and the town, and he decided to do an illustration about that. If you remember, Rockwell would frequently name his illustrations. In this particular illustration, he named the gossip chain. That's what he called it, the gossip chain. So take a look at that for a couple of seconds. Look over it pretty well. Rockwell was superb in capturing real life, reality, emotions, facial expressions. He was I'm looking at our art history major over here shaking his head. He knows all about Rockwell. I'm a Rockwell fan. I'm a collector of Rockwell illustrations. He just had this great knack of catching things. I want us to take a look at this picture. This illustration. He was an illustrator. And make some observations. So take a look at it. And when you get a moment, raise your hand and I'll repeat your answer. We won't pass the mic around on this one. But just take a good look at this illustration and see some of the realities and the expressions and so forth that Rockwell was able to capture in the gossip chain. And then let's be good observers. What do you see and notice? Shock. Shock. Surprise. Okay. Monica? Anger. Okay. You see anger in there?
Mockery.
They don't have to be one word answers, but that's okay.
Disbelief.
Eagerness to hear. Right? Yeah. So Scripture says, be slow to speak, quick to hear. Sometimes we turn that around and we're slow to hear and we're quick to speak. That certainly happens in the gossip chain. In this case, the illustration starts and ends with the same exact person. And it looks like, true to Scripture, she's a whisperer. We'll talk about whisperers in a few moments. That's how it starts off, as a whisperer. As I said before, Rockwell's at the very bottom. He's the out of the last three figures, he's the one who gets the news, and he's going, "About me? They said that about me? Who said that about me?" And it goes all the way back to the start, and he goes to that person, right? And we'll see a good proverb that talks about how that tends to work out. If you're just coming in, look around on your sheet or on your seat for a sheet. If you don't have one, somebody will give you one. We're trying to make sure all of our adults and young people have one of these sheets that we're going to use a lot this morning. Notice that in this illustration, no single individual broke the chain. One got it and took it further. That person then took it further. That person then took it further. That person then took it further. No one cared enough to do what Scripture says about concealing the matter, covering the matter, stopping the matter. Notice that this gossip chain takes place through various modes. The whisperer, right in the middle, actually starting on the second line, the lady with the scarf on calls her friend on the phone, who 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 looks like she turns around and shares it with her husband or her brother or something. Like, did you hear? Did you know this happened? There are various modes. It's not just by word of mouth. It's also word of mouth, person to person, face to face, telephone, not face to face. What could be, if Rockwell were alive today and he were doing this illustration, what might be some other modes of gossip he would put into the picture?
Facebook.
Email. What's that?
Texting.
Texting on your phone. Various modes. Again, notice that it came back around from the lady who started it to the lady who ended it. I wonder if Rockwell and her, I wonder if they had been friends, if they were friends now at the very end. We'll talk about in Scripture how gossip has a way of separating even intimate friends. Seems like it starts as a whisper and then gets fanned into a flame. A little spark can set a whole forest on fire. Sound familiar? And then also notice how whether you did this intentionally or not, I'm not sure, but it strikes my attention is that because the way he's done it is you get the opposite side of each person's face. The face they have when they receive it and the face that they have when they give it. I don't know if that was just a brilliant stroke of genius of saying the gossiper can often be a two-faced individual. One thing to your face, another thing apart from you. Just an interesting depiction there that he catches. Well, again, I said I wanted to do this lesson on gossip, but as I dove into the lesson, as I dove into it, I found myself going deeper and deeper, verse after verse, translation after translation, and I realized I think I'm really dealing with a bigger issue here than mere gossip. The words of a whisperer, we'll look at this verse a little later, but the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. That's where we get the idea of juicy gossip. Scripture says the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels that go down into the innermost parts of the body. But as I was going deeper and deeper, verse after verse, just looking at this through Scripture, I came up with what I'm calling a constellation of malicious speech. Now, you all know what a constellation is. A constellation is a group of stars that are made up of individual stars with their individual names. But what makes them a constellation is those individual stars hang together as a group. They hang together as a collection. If you were able to go out last night and look at the southern sky, you'd have seen Orion the Hunter. It was just as clear as it could be, Orion the Hunter. And you can see that Orion the Hunter is made up of all these individual stars, right? And you can say those three stars right in a row, I don't know what their names are, but they're individual stars, and that's Orion's belt. And then if you look just below those again, you see four or five stars. And you say, oh yeah, that's Orion's sword dangling from his belt. Then you look off to the right and you see Orion's shield. It's made up of about six or seven different stars. So they're individual stars, but they hang together as that collection, that constellation called Orion the Hunter. And I came up with sort of a constellation of malicious speech because the Bible identifies various characteristics of malicious speech. And they're nuanced differently, but they're very, very related, and they hold together as a collection. So let me just unpack this constellation of malicious speech. Starts off first with a slanderer, a gossiper, a backbiter. Just straight from Scripture. Whisperer, a talebearer, a sower or a spreader, a divider, and perhaps worst of all, a destroyer. So what I want to do in the next couple of minutes is just sort of unpack each one of these dark, evil, uncharitable, ungodly, devil-like characteristics of this constellation of malicious speech. First of all, let's think about the slanderer. Now, get ready to be, that first sheet with the compendium of speech verses, we're going to wear this out. So be sure you've got that handy. We're just going to wear this sheet out. We're going to look at it, turn it over and back and over and back. But when it comes to the slanderer, there are several words translated as slander in Scripture. And sometimes slander is used interchangeably with gossip and backbiter and talebearer. You'll see that. It's used interchangeably with some of these other words. That's why I'm saying they're like individual stars, but they're very related in motive and those kinds of things. A simple definition of slander, or a person who is a slanderer, a simple definition is to speak evil of someone falsely. A nuance of slander is slander speaks to defame people. It speaks to demean people. But characteristically, what slander spreads around just is not true. It's a crime, defamation. One of the New Testament translations for slanderer is actually the word diabolos. That's one of the New Testament translations for slander. But this devil-like, the accuser of the brethren, that's who he is. All right, pick up your sheet. Let's just look through some of these verses of slander. I'm going to go quickly through these, but starting in Exodus 20:16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's slander. You can't do that. You can't say false things about your neighbor according to God's word. Leviticus 19:16. This was so important in the old covenant people of God that you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. I am the Lord. This is my will for you as my people. And there should not be one amongst my people going around my people slandering about my people. Psalm 15:3. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue. Proverbs 10:18. He who spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 11:13. Now, here's an example where I'm showing you they're sometimes used interchangeably. I've got Proverbs 11:13 twice, once from the ESV and once from the New American Standard. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Notice how the NAS uses that. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. You see how they're used interchangeably. Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Look at it in the other version. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. So the ESV translates that word there as a whisperer, NAS as a slanderer. Proverbs 20:19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Interesting how there's an interchange of words there. He who goes around as a slanderer does this, and then Scripture qualifies that individual as being a characterological gossiper. Romans 1:30, you turn your sheet over. Here Paul reminds us again that there were people in that give themselves over to evil. And they don't just gossip, they are gossips, as well as slanderers. In Ephesians and Colossians, we're told as Christians to put slander away from us, to put it away, to put it off. It's not something we have to engage in. And 1 Timothy 3:11 talks about, by the way, this is applied to deacons' wives, so this is not applied to Tilly or to Jane or any of our, you know, so, no, I'm kidding about that. It does apply to all of us, but women of deacons' wives must be dignified, not malicious gossips. Look how the ESV, not slanderers. Again, that interchange of words. It shouldn't be those things. Let's go on to gossiper. So slanderer, gossiper, very much the same, sometimes interchanged. Definitely, though, are they very related in heart and in motive. In both cases, the slanderer who is saying things that are obviously false, the gossiper has the same heart motive, and that is to demean, to diminish, to belittle a person. But the gossiper might actually be saying things that contain nuggets of truth. Think about back to the gossip chain. I have no idea what the gossip was, but maybe it started off as saying something that actually contained an element of the truth. What makes it sin is that God says it's sin. And also what makes it sin is that gossip spreads information, even though it may have truth in it, its purpose is to demean, defame, diminish another person. Again, going back to our sheets, I said we were going to wear this out. We're going to wear it out looking at Proverbs 20:19. I guess you could say we're really doing a Bible study this morning because we're just looking over these verses as we go along. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip. Romans 1:30 again identifies those individuals who are gossipers. Can this be a problem in the church? Is this just something in the world? In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is fearful of something. He's afraid. And Paul's saying, I fear that perhaps when I come, I might find you not as I wish, and you might not find me as you wish. In other words, Paul says, I may not be a nice guy when I come to Corinth. Because some of the things that I fear are present in the church, among the people that make up the church at Corinth. There's a real, can be a real life issue in the church. I'm afraid that I'll find quarreling and jealousy and anger and slander and gossip and conceit and disorder among you. We've already looked at 1 Timothy 3 about how that women are not to be in the church, those deacons, wives, again, all people are not to be those who go about as malicious gossips. And then 1 Timothy 5:13 identifies another group that it seems like, according to the inspired word of God, a particular group who might need to take a little extra caution when it comes to this idea of gossip. 1 Timothy 5:13 are to those young widows. He says, Paul says, these young widows learn to be idle. They learn to go around from house to house and not be merely idle, but also gossips. Again, not just engaging in gossips, but becoming gossips themselves, keratologically gossips. And there's a warning there that those young widows not find themselves engaged in too much idle time, too much free time, and too much loose tongues about other people in the church. Slander and gossip are just not how people who are walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, who are seeking to love and worship God, this is why it becomes a worship issue, who's seeking to love and worship God, it's just not how they are going to behave to the glory of God. So what I want to do now is then through this constellation of malicious speech, just look at these other individual characteristics of malicious speech and to see how that, although none of these are strict synonyms, but these other words, these other descriptions are very graphic ways that Scripture uses different words to describe what and how a gossiper does, where they tend to do it, and what the results can be of what is very, this is why I say, I thought I was going to do a lesson on gossip, and I started digging down in, and I was like, oh boy. Oh, so this is deeper and more revealing than I sort of had anticipated. First of all, backbiter. That's a very descriptive term, isn't it? Proverbs 25:32, if you're looking at your sheet, and hopefully you are. I think it's at the very, very bottom of the front side of your sheet. No, maybe it's at the very top of page 2. I'm not sure. Proverbs 25:23, the north wind brings forth rain. Boy, that happened the other night, didn't it, Friday? Didn't that happen Friday night? That north wind, if you could have seen what our creek looked like. Joe and Julie and Olivia were coming over and we had to say, don't come yet. We may have to hang out in the church parking lot for a little bit for the creek to go down just a little bit. Man, it blew through there. Was that Thursday night? It was Thursday night. It was not Friday. Did I say Friday? So the north wind does it. The north wind brings forth rain. And look what a backbiter does. And a backbiting tongue, angry looks. What a descriptive term right from the word of God. I'm going to be real profound here on a couple of these terms. And it's kind of like when you're in third grade or something and you said, define lover, and you'd write one who loves, right? Or so a backbiter. Here's a real profound definition of a backbiter: one who bites in the back. No, I'm only kidding a little bit. But what a descriptive term! It tells us that the gossiper tends to say the harmful things they say about people where. Behind their backs. It's So they're a backbiter, which means that slander and gossip also not only manifest things that are harmful, defaming, hurtful, unloving, but probably also cowardly. Now, here's a good guard, because Proverbs 34 tells us to pray, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Here's a good guard if we have a tendency to be a backbiter. Now, it's not a foolproof guard, because it could be that the thing that you're saying behind a person's back, it's a very real possibility that what you're saying behind their back is something you actually should be saying face to face with them. Exhort one another. Admonish one another. Correct one another. It's possible that you should be saying that right to their face. It's possible you shouldn't. And here's why it's a good guard. What you're saying behind their back, if you're not willing to say it to their face, it's probably a good indication that maybe you shouldn't be saying it at all, unless it falls in that other category of it's something you should say to their face. You're not just being cowardly. You're actually going to say it to them. But there's a good guard to set over our lips is if I'm not willing to say it to their face, maybe I shouldn't say it at all. And sometimes people will say that. They're telling you about someone, and they'll say these words. And I would say this right to his face, to which we would say, why aren't you doing it? Why are you telling me? If you would say it to his face or her face. I saw this little meme that I thought was very good, and it was this. Rather than being a backbiter, surround yourself with people that will pray for you behind your back. Amen to that, right? Let's move on. So we started at the top up there, those big ones, slanderer and gossiper, backbiter. We're going to go over. You notice how these are, they're all connected. They're connected like a constellation. Every single one of them can be a part of an extension of any of the other ones, a whisperer. Again, what a graphic term. Proverbs 16:28 on your sheet. Proverbs 16:28. They're in order by the reference. So from Exodus all the way down to Romans, they're in sort of Bible order. 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. We also see how that whisperer there can be used as slanderer. Proverbs 18:8. The writer says it again in a different chapter. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels, dainty morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Yeah, isn't that a great... For lack of wood, for lack of fuel, for lack of someone. If someone had just stopped the gossip chain that we looked at, they would have taken the fuel away from the fire, but nobody stopped the chain. But the whispering kept on going down the line. Whispering. The gossiper does not tend to make a public announcement with a microphone in his or her hand about the person that they're presently slamming or shaming. Their tendency is to be a whisperer, perhaps a backbiter. If not a whisperer in spirit. Maybe they're not whispering. Maybe they're just talking in a regular voice, but they're speaking in the spirit of a whisperer. Privately, quietly. Maybe in the form of a prayer request. Now, we've rehearsed this over and over again at Grace Baptist Church through the years, but it's been a while, so let me do it again. It's not role-playing, but it's preparation for situations. Again, we've said this before. What has to be, brothers and sisters at Grace Baptist Church, what has to be your first thought when the whisperer or the backbiter comes to you and say, I've got something that I want to share with you, but don't tell anybody else. Don't share this with anybody. I'm just sharing it with you. We've gone over this before. Let me rehearse it again. First thought, maybe not your first word, first thought to that person is, no, sir. No, ma'am. That's your first thought. That's your very first thought. I will not make you that promise. I will not allow you to back me up and to paint me into that moral corner. Because it may very well be that what you're about to tell me will make me morally obligated to take that information to someone else. If you're telling me about somebody that you're concerned about is abusing their child or abusing their spouse or doing something illegally in our community, I'm not going to let you paint me into that moral corner. The second thing you do is then, again, I'm trying to prepare you for the works of ministry here. Equip you for the work of ministry. The second thing you do is then you say to that person, that's your first thought, no. Your second thing is you say to that person, no, I will not make you that promise. Because what you share with me may morally obligate me to do that. A couple of really good benefits from that. One, it has a way of stopping the thing in its tracks. One, it has a way of stopping the gossip and the backbiting, concealing the matter. One, it has a way of educating that individual, whoever he or she might be, is, man, I can't talk to Greg about these things. He's stuck in the mud about stopping these kinds of things. Make your life a lot easier when that person quits coming to you. And then, of course, it has the advantage of, if you want to share that with me, then we can share it, and then you and I can go to that person, or you can go to that person and tell me, I'll give you a week, you tell me when you've done that, right? And of healing rather than destroying. We're going to get to destroyer in just a moment. And then we move from whisperer up back to the top to tell bearer, a word right out of Scripture. Would you look at Proverbs 11:13? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I did this one twice because the ESV translates this as slanderer, the NAS is a talebearer. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Once again, one of those very technical definitions. A technical definition of a talebearer is a bearer of tales. Right. He's a person who goes around carrying tales. Don't you love how descriptive these terms are? Aren't they helpful to help us to identify these things? Not to identify these things in others, to identify these things in us. He goes around, or she goes around, carrying tales. They may be true. They may be false. They reveal secrets. Probably going around as a talebearer, as a backbiter, and as a whisperer. The opposite of a talebearer, the opposite of a talebearer is a talebearer. Let me say that again. The opposite of a talebearer is a tell barrier. Look at Proverbs 26:20. Again, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. It stops. But even more clear than that is Proverbs 17:9. If you look back over on the first side, Proverbs 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. The one who covers an offense, he covers it up, he's burying it. You know, there's no more thorough covering than when someone is buried. They're put into the ground. The other thing is put over top of them, the vault, and then the dirt is put upon them, and it's covered. And so that's why I'm saying that the opposite of a tail bearer is a tail barrier. They cover it. They stop it. They take away the fuel. A sower. We call it a sower. We call it a spreader. Think about it, the individual who goes around sowing seeds, casting seeds, spreading. We talk about someone spreading rumors. Sowing seeds of division. Sowing seeds of suspicion. Sowing seeds of doubt. Leviticus 19:16. You shall not go around as a slanderer, as an individual spreading these things. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. Here we have the word sow. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brothers. One who goes about sowing division, sowing discord, disharmony among the brothers. That's something that our God hates. And again, there are any number of means by which that can happen in this modern world. Proverbs 10:18. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lip is prudent. Proverbs 16:28. This one keeps coming up. A dishonest man spreads strife. He does that. He spreads strife. A whisperer separates close friends. Proverbs 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter, just goes around repeating it, spreading it, separates close friends. Proverbs 20:19. He who goes about as a slanderer, goes about spreading and sowing his slander, reveals secrets. And that's the idea of this sower. And again, the things only get really a little worse from here, because then we come to this idea of this divider. How awful and hurtful this is. Proverbs 6:16 through 19, we just read that. This man who sows discord, he's a divider among the brethren. Proverbs 17:9 has these words: who covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. He's a divider. He's separating people who were friends, people who were brothers and sisters in Christ. And now this news is going out, and intimate friends are separated and divided. Maybe churches are divided. Get the same thing in Proverbs 16:28. The perverse man spreads strife. A slanderer separates intimate friends. Proverbs 18:19, it's not in your passage, but Proverbs 18 and 19 reminds us that an offended brother is harder to be won than a strong fortified city. This person was your friend. This person thought they were your friend. This person thought that they trusted you and you trusted them, and now you, through malicious speech, have caused a division between yourself and them, or between them and others. And Proverbs tells us that's really hard to mend that. An offended brother is harder to restore than a fortified city. It's so strong. A real rift has been taking place there. And then worst of all, destroyer. Again, what a devil-like, ungod-like aspect that we get from Scripture. Proverbs 11:9. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. Proverbs 13:3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens it wide, his lips, comes to ruin. He may destroy a relationship. He may destroy a spouse. He may destroy a church. How many times do we hear in the news these days, it's just tragic that some young person, some teenager, high schooler, has hung themselves, shot themselves, destroyed their lives because of something that someone spread about them on social media. And it was so embarrassing and so disheartening and so humiliating. A destroyed neighbor. And we know that Jesus teaches our neighbor is more than just the person who lives next door to us, right? Very quickly, I want to cover, leaving for this, I want to cover seven reasons why we should be aware and beware of these characteristics of malicious speech. Let me say that again. Why we should be aware, hearing these things in our own hearts, and why we should be aware of them when we hear them in others. Seven reasons. One is because God in His Word clearly says to us over and over again that we ought to be aware and that we ought to beware of these things. That we ought to mortify them. Ephesians 4:29, Colossians 3. Where these things are true in your life, put them off. Put them away. These are things that are to be mortified in our lives as believers. Let no rotten words come out of your mouth, but only words that are good for edification. Secondly, we should be aware of these things because any use of them is not a minor offense. This is where we have tended to minimize things in our hearts and lives that people in the past didn't minimize. We say, it's just words. It was just a slip of my tongue. It was a momentary time of a lack of discretion in my words. No. Any use of these things is not a minor offense. Any use of these things is a violation of the moral law of God, specifically the ninth commandment. You have on your sheet there, stapled to your sheet, you have a copy of the Westminster Larger Catechism. And what you have on the front and side, front and back is you have the original version and you have a modern version. And I'm just going to take the time to quickly read the modern version to us. It is so thorough. It is so convicting. And you can take it home with you this week and look over it again. Really study it. I've been blessed this week to really, really comb through this. And again, so thorough, so convicting. But what is the ninth commandment? Well, let me see. The violation of this, first of all, when we violate the commandment, here's what's happening. It's not just a slip of the tongue. It means at that point, we have chosen not to love God, and we've chosen not to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, which is the summation of the law. I'm not going to take the time to read through this. I'm not going to have time to do that. Would you please take this home, read it, comb over this, and particularly identify things that you see in this constellation of malicious speech. We'll move on from there, but you have that. But the point is, we had predecessors in the past who wouldn't say, oh, it's just a slip of the tongue. No, they tried to cover every angle and every aspect of malicious speech, and they wrote it down. The numbers you see on the here are what would have been the proof text, and you can look this up online, or maybe you have a copy of the Larger Catechism in your home, or you can go online and find it. And it just would have taken 4 or 5 or 6 sheets of paper to have written out all the proof text. But that's what those numbers are. They were the proof text that those writers who framed this said, and here's the scriptural warrant for saying why there should be no backbiting, why there should be no whispering, why there should be no malicious gossip. Wish we had the time to read it, but you're readers, and I don't need to read to you, but would you please take it and comb over it really, really well. because any use of them is not a minor offense. Thirdly, using these things as we see here in our constellation of malicious speech may reveal characterological sins in us, not merely characteristics of speech. They may reveal characterological sins that are true of us, not just mere characteristics of sin. They may reveal patterns and practices in our lives that we are to put off. Here's how our Lord identified this in Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. There's something going on the heart level, characterologically, of this individual. Romans 1 identifies those who don't just gossip, they are gossips. It's a characterological sin in them, as well as those passages like deacons' wives and the young widows who were not to go around, not just not gossiping, they're not to go around as gossips, as gossipers. Ephesians 4:31 and Colossians 3:8 says, look for these things in your life, listen for these things in your life, look for these things in your heart. No longer walk as the Gentiles, no longer talk as the Gentiles. If you identify slander and malice and clamor and evil speech, and you see these as patterns and practices in your life, put them off. Mortify that sin in your life. That's the third reason. The fourth reason why we should be aware and be aware of these things is because these things are heart-revealing words. Gossip and slander can reveal idols of the heart. Let me suggest a few ways how they might reveal idols of the heart. Gossip can make us feel important and needed as we declare our judgment, our assessment of the situation of this person. Gossip can make us feel important to be on the inside. I'm on the inside of these people. I know the inside scoop on this situation. I've got the beam on this person or this situation. Truly a discerning individual. Gossip may reveal self-righteousness. When we're talking about someone, in our hearts are saying, "And God, I thank you that I'm not like them. I thank you that I'm more mature than that. Further along, not guilty of that sin." Gossip can make us feel powerful, to cut someone else down to size, to put them in their place, or at least to put them in the place we want them to be in our hearts. These can be heart-revealing sins. We have to be aware of these things because, as we've seen, these things can divide and they can destroy. They can leave in their wake a path of incredible destruction, a little spark setting off a whole blaze in a whole forest. We must be aware of them because they divide, they separate friends. We must be aware of these things because they grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. They displease God. Again, this is why it's a matter of worship. Seven, we must be aware of these things because when we engage in them as Christians, we are denying the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and unto salvation in every area and aspect of our lives, including our speech. And that's why, as Christians, we can speak the truth in love. That's why, as Christians, there doesn't have to be any rotten speech proceeding out of our mouths. That's why, as Christians, we don't have to any longer present this member as an instrument of unrighteousness, but we can present this member as a member of righteousness. We won't have time this morning, but just look through, and if you could see my list, you could see all the times, and I guess it's going to be very hard for you, but all the times that I put a positive sign by these verses, because a lot of them are positive. A lot of them give us gospel hope, and they give us gospel power that God will give us a cover over our mouth, that we can be those who conceal secrets, that we can be those who exercise the self-control of the Holy Spirit. So take advantage of this and look at, and maybe mark through what those positive things are that show you what the power of the gospel is in your life as a believer. I want to close this morning with some things you've heard me say before. At Dohnavur Mission, where Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, they had a few little guards of speech. And these pictures are actually from Dohnavur. This is one of the beautiful gates, one of the beautiful entryways into Dohnavur Fellowship. And some of the rules that they used to help them with their speech in Dohnavur was this. Ask three questions about what you're saying or about what you're hearing. One, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Wish we had more time, but we don't. Here's the second one. The second rule they had was, at Dohnavur, the absent are safe with us. A third one was, not about to. Don't speak about people, speak to people. Not about to. Just some helpful guards for our lips. We've got to quit right there. Now, I do have an assignment for you, though. We're not done with this. Because my dear wife said, please make this practical. Please make it very practical. Don't just talk to us about gossip and those kind of things. She had set up scenarios. Give us situations. Okay, here's your homework for this week. We're going to come back next week. Has anyone, while I've been talking all this morning, has anyone said, but Pastor Ronnie, what about this situation? Would that be gossip? You know, I know something's going on. What about this person? What about that scenario? All right, so do me a favor this week. And like Winnie the Pooh, think. And think about scenarios, think about situations, relationships, and God willing, we'll come back next week and try to talk through practical things using, right, Philippians 4:8 as a filter, whatever is true, honest, good report, trying to run that through the filter of Scripture, these various scenarios, and trying to get God's wisdom on these things. Because sometimes you do have to say something about somebody. What's the motive? Why? Right? Let's try to figure out God's mind on those things. Will you do that? So, it's my birthday today, and y'all are really going to hurt my feelings if I see a bunch of these in the chairs, because I want you to take these home and work on them and work through them. Please, let's pray. God, thank you for the power of the gospel in our lives. It is the power of God into salvation. Lord, set a guard over our lips by your Holy Spirit. Let these things be useful to us, to your body, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.